City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by the American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Windy City Queercast, show number 393. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
And I'm Megan Murphy.
Ah, it's a straight girl day.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Queercast. I love it. I cannot say queercast today.
Queercast.
Queercast.
Stop making it like you're Jewish.
I know. I'm vechlent with the queercast. I'm so vechlent over the Thanksgiving.
I am excited about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's the week. So happy Thanksgiving to all you listeners. And yeah. I hope you're doing something fun. What will you be doing?
We're going to our friend Eric's house.
Yeah.
We are. We're going to cook our faces off and then eat them. And then go see Burlesque, which is all I really wanted to do.
Which is really gay.
It's super gay. And we figured it's like a win-win. I mean, like, if it's the worst movie ever, like the new Showgirls, hooray.
Hooray.
And if it's bad, even better.
Right. If it's like the worst movie, the best. If it turns out to be good, fantastic. Then great for
a
all
new
of them.
Part of the canon of musical theater for
but
all us gays
it,
and
it
people
only
who
is,
like gays.
It's only a win because at the very least, even if it's not bad enough to be good or good enough to be bad or all that, at least you get to see Cher on a screen for, you know.
And you get to see Cher sing.
Right, 40 feet wide.
Yeah. And her face not move. It
her
is a modern miracle.
It's a modern miracle.
The eighth wonder of the world.
She's been doing the talk show circuit and been so...
Oh, I haven't seen her on anything.
Oh my God,
really?
She saw her on Letterman 2020. I saw her on Regis and Kelly.
Does she still touch like her, like right near her ear whenever she laughs? Because I always think that her face
that
might just
fall.
Break. I just think it might break. She kind of touches her ears and she kind of does that.
She's so funny.
No.
She seems so funny. I like her
I
so
love
much.
Cher.
She seems
I'm just
so honest.
I tease because I love. I love
of course.
I tease.
Well, she's pulled so hard, but what I like about her is that she's been famous since she was like 16 years old.
Yeah.
So she's lived in this rarefied bubble for so long that like she just lives this life that is so solely her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't give a fuck.
Mm-mm. Why should she?
Right.
I mean, she share.
She share.
Yeah.
She shares and shares alike.
It's really
get out.
It's really interesting because you know I kind of have a I don't still, after all these years, know how I feel about Christina Aguilera. Like, a good song that I like of hers will come on, and I'm like, I love her. And then there are times when I don't really like Christina Aguilera being Christina Aguilera. I like her being the pop icon. I love to hear a good song of her. But I don't, you know, it's so funny because she seems so personality-less when she's just being herself. Because I actually have seen her in interviews. And I feel like she has such personality when she gets behind a song.
Yeah,
right.
So I'm going to be really surprised to see what she can,
do.
Well, if she can act or if she can even just...
Have charisma?
Charisma. I see her as having no charisma when she's not behind a microphone. And even then, I don't really love to watch her sing. She's one of those people that, like, I don't like... I don't like to watch Carrie Underwood sing. She does that thing with her microphone where she... you know, opens and closes her hands all the time and then changes hands to the microphone and she does it like 40 times within 16, you know, measures. And I'm like,
well,
girl,
what do you think about Christina as a singer?
What do I think?
Yeah,
because you're a great singer.
Well, thanks. I think she's a great singer.
Yeah.
I also think that it's one of those things that's a little too personal when she's singing, mm-hmm. so it makes you a little nervous to watch. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily like to watch her sing. I mean, don't get me wrong.
She has a lot of tics. Yeah. She got a lot of tics when she sings.
I think Megan's right, that she does go there when she sings, and so it can be a little embarrassing. It's like, all right, save something for yourself, Christina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a force of nature behind a microphone.
Totally.
Don't get me wrong, but there are just some people that, you know, she's a great recording artist.
Did you hear, like, have you heard this new song from the Burlesque soundtrack that's sort of a bluesy song?
She did
it. Yeah, she did it on a talk show the other day. I watched a clip online, and it's sort of a different style. It's like a blue, sort of a bluesy song, and it is a jam.
Oh, she did Something Got a Hold of Me on Ellen.
Yeah. That's
which
what
is
I'm
a classic.
About. It is, yeah. It's a jam. She sang the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah.
The girl can sing.
I know. I was like, those two black women behind her were like, couldn't you get two better women behind her to sing? Because everybody pales in comparison. I mean, let me tell you, the woman's got an instrument.
She does.
Like,
I'll tell you when I found out I really loved her. She recorded a song on one of Herbie Hancock's recent albums called Possibilities. And she recorded the Donny Hathaway song, Song For You, which is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I loved the recording of it. I thought it was slightly oversung.
Yep.
But I loved the recording of it. And I loved that he even asked her to do it. I thought, mm-hmm. well, he must know something, right? Mm-hmm. And then they sang it at the Grammys live, and so all the tricks went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally just her, mm-hmm. a microphone, and Herbie Hancock
mm-hmm.
at the piano.
How dare her, first off.
At the piano. And she sang. And I thought, if you can hang that way...
Well, she's always been able to hang that way, though, mm-hmm. because at her
musician.
Very first, when she was nominated for Best Artist... of the year,
best new artist.
Right. And it was when Genie in a Bottle was her big song,
right.
And she came out on the Grammys or one of those award shows. I guess it was the Grammys if it's best new artist. And she came out and she sang something just with a piano that was a ballad and ripped. I mean, it was the first time I think everybody heard who didn't know her,
right?
Who wasn't in the industry,
didn't think of
knew
her,
the whole breadth
right.
of like her. Because
she wasn't just a. Because I think when she came out, people
she was like a Miley Cyrus
or Britney.
Yeah. I think her and Britney were up for the same award that year.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, they came out the same.
She just threw
Disney girls.
Down,
right.
And she showed a real artistry, you know. And I've always remembered that moment. I've always respected her, and. You know, I don't know. This will be fascinating.
What are you doing Thanksgiving? You should come to the movie with us.
Well, I might. I'm actually going to go see Harry Potter with my castmate, Wendy Roby. We're going to go hit probably a matinee of burlesques. I mean, of Harry Potter. So if you all hit a nighttime, I might double feature.
All right. Well, I'll text you because we'll be just up the street in Rogers Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Eric's house. Although I did just hear about this. And if other people know about this...
Mm-hmm.
Let me know, but I was just hanging out with some friends of mine who were in town, some circus friends, the most adorable boys, David and Tobin, and they were saying that they're excited about Thanksgiving because they have discovered this thing, whereas the day after Thanksgiving, you take your leftovers.
Black Friday.
You take your leftovers, mm-hmm. and you literally, like, just make them into a ball, like, just whatever is in the, like, plate, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's turkey, it's potatoes, it's...
Stuffing, it's cranberry, whatever.
And just literally make a ball of it,
mm-hmm.
put a little flour around it, and fry it. And they call them turkey balls.
Sweet
and they
Lord.
Said they're the best things that you have ever tasted in mm-hmm. your life. So I need everybody to try that the day after Thanksgiving.
You fry it or you bake it?
Fry it.
Is that called ball water, what you're frying?
Frying it up in some ball water.
Fry it up in some ball water. Well, we should try that on Friday.
Let everybody try it and then let us know how it works out.
I'm totally scared.
I know. But doesn't it sound just like
I'm
a
excited.
Deep fried turkey ball?
There's a new turkey ball movement happening.
That's what I think is happening. It is. It's a movement. It's a phenom.
It's a phenom. Well, we have lots to talk about this Thanksgiving holiday. And Megan and Mitchell are here with me as the part of two-part show. Today, it's going to be us talking about just stuff going on in the pop world and holiday gifts that we're starting to think about buying. Because new stuff all starts coming out now. New movies start coming out as well, which we're obviously going to see. And then in our next show, why Mitchell and Megan are on the couch with me. We're not all in bed together. We did that last time.
They don't have to know that. They don't have to know
well,
that.
Well, we are naked.
Right. We're just cuddling naked.
Yeah, we're just
in the kitchen.
But we're going to be doing a show that I've been promising for a couple weeks. The new Sundance documentary, Girls Who Love Boys Who Love Boys. And my favorite... gay guy, straight girl combo are Megan and Mitchell. So I've got them here for the show, for two shows. So aren't you thankful? We'll be back. I've got Richard Knight, some news, what's going on in the theater scene, all coming at you right now.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, the independent from Connecticut, said November 18th that there are enough votes to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. Full debate on the entire bill could take as long as 2 weeks.
The Centers for Medicaid and Medicare have issued new rules that require all hospitals to participate in those programs to allow patients to designate who shall be allowed to visit them and make medical decisions on their behalf. The designation includes same-sex partners. The new rules were published in the Federal Register November 19th.
Cindy McCain, the wife of Republican U.S. Senator John McCain, has apparently changed her mind regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Cindy was in an ad for the No Hate campaign talking about how LGBT individuals can't serve our country openly. However, on November 12th, she tweeted that she supports her husband's stance on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even though she fully supports the No Hate campaign.
Three generations of LGBT veterans and advocates went to the White House fence November 15th to call for the U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and President Obama to make good on their promises to secure the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell during the abbreviated lame duck session of Congress that started that day. 13 individuals ended up being arrested.
In Oklahoma, two female high school students are talking after officials stop them from graduating upon discovering the girls are a couple. Melissa McKenzie, age 18, said that she was expelled from Dell City High School in Dell City, Oklahoma, after administrators found out she was living with her girlfriend, Kelsey Hicks, who subsequently dropped out of school. Hicks wanted to return to school to achieve her dream of being a firefighter. However, Hicks has claimed that school officials discouraged her from returning.
Harvey Milk school teacher Fred Goldhaber passed away November 15th at the age of 63 of liver cancer. Goldhaber volunteered to become the first teacher at the New York City school when it opened in 1985. Goldhaber is survived by his partner, Wilfredo Hines.
In Michigan, high school students have backed teacher Jay McDowell, who told a student to leave because of the latter's anti-gay comments. McDowell, who was suspended without pay for a day after kicking out the student, cited religious reasons for his anti-gay stance. However, at a recent school board meeting, 14-year-old openly gay Graham Taylor, among others, asked the board to reverse its decision.
A study conducted by social scientists at the Pew Research Center in coordination with Time magazine found that 63% of the respondents thought that a same-sex couple raising a child qualifies as a family. 39% of the participants thought that marriage in general is becoming obsolete, and 86% felt that a single parent and child constitute a family.
In Texas, 19-year-old Hermilio Morales, who had been accused of murdering 18-year-old Josh Wilkerson, said that he beat Wilkerson to death and burned his body because the boy allegedly came onto him. Wilkerson's body was found November 17th in a field after a 24-hour search. However, Wilkerson's family disputes Morales' claim.
At the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, police are investigating more hate crimes and the latest acts center around race and sexual orientation. Someone slashed the tires of the cars of three black students and spray-painted KKK on the vehicles. On November 7th, a male allegedly shoved a female student against a fence while making an anti-gay comment. In September, a student was punched in the face while wearing a legalized gay t-shirt.
Out Magazine has released its annual Out 100 list, and Ricky Martin has been named Entertainer of the Year. Others honored, figure skater Johnny Weir was named Diva of the Year, actress Julianne Moore was deemed Artist of the Year, Nate Berkus was Style Maker of the Year, and MSNBC's Rachel Maddow was named Newsmaker of the Year.
In world news, in Cambodia, the area of Boum Kak Tu has been designated the country's first gay town. Since 2004, the number of out gay individuals in Phnom Penh, the capital of Cambodia, and the city where Boum Kak Tu is located, has mushroomed from 900 to 10,000. However, longtime residents who are offended by the new residents say they'll have to move, claiming that the area is not safe anymore.
In Germany, officials at the Allwetter Zoo in Münster are planning to separate two 14-year-old male vultures who have been cohabitating so that they can mate with a female at a Czech zoo. Gay rights groups have protested the development.
In England, Lord Chris Smith, that country's first out gay MP, was honored with the Freedom of the Borough by Islington Council. Smith is the former Labour MP for Islington South and Finsbury and officially came out a quarter century ago. The award, which recognizes contributions to the community, is the highest honor the council can bestow, and it dates back to the Middle Ages.
In Brazil, the post-Pride parade shooting of gay youth Douglas Igor Marquez Luis by men in military uniforms has sounded alarms about anti-LGBT violence. The shooting happened at a time when Brazil's LGBT community was named the sexiest place on earth by LGBT travel website Trip Out Gay Travel. In the wake of the incident, pro-gay organizations are urging Brazil's Senate to pass an anti-discrimination measure.
In entertainment news, for its 25th season, the MTV program The Real World is embarking on another first, having a gay porn star in the cast. Dustin Zito, 24, who is featured in the gay for pay website Fratmen as Spatmen. Dustin Zito, 24, who is men in the gay for men site Fratmen as Spatmen. Dustin Zito, 24, who is men in the gay for site Fratmen as Spatmen. Dustin Zito, 24, who is the gay for site Fresh as Dustin is not publicist Ronnie Chasen, who worked on movies such as Driving Miss Daisy and helped launch the gay TV network here, was found dead in her car in the early morning hours of November 16th in Beverly Hills after being shot five times. Chasen dedicated herself to advancing LGBT visibility through media. Earlier that evening, Chasen had attended the Los Angeles premiere of the Cher and Christina Aguilera film Burlesque.
Elton John will be the guest editor of the British publication The Independent on Wednesday, December 1st. John will be heading a special World AIDS Day issue, and profits from that day's purchases will go to the Elton John's AIDS Foundation.
Lesbian actress Jane Lynch, who also stars on Glee as Sue Sylvester, received the Rand Schrader Distinguished Achievement Award from the LA Gay and Lesbian Center at its 39th annual gala fundraiser. Co-star Matthew Morrison, an openly gay creator, writer, director, Ryan Murphy presented the award to Lynch.
Adam Lambert will release his Acoustic Live EP, a five-song set, Monday, December 6th. The EP will feature unplugged versions of Soaked, Aftermath, What Do You Want From Me, and a cover for Tears for Fears' Mad World, which he performed on American Idol. Lambert's first CD, For Your Entertainment, has sold more than 750,000 copies.
And Oscar-winning director Robert Zemeckis may direct a live-action remake of the classic film The Wizard of Oz. Warner Brothers will be using the original 1939 screenplay, which featured input from almost 20 writers. Warner's plans conflict with Disney, which is developing a movie called The Great and Powerful Oz. Regarding Disney's film, director Sam Raimi is hoping to get Robert Downey Jr. to portray the wizard. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Everything in Burlesque, the new musical starring Cher and Christina Aguilera, is so familiar, so telegraphed, that the entire movie felt like deja vu to me. It's a pastiche of pastiche. A movie hall of mirrors with one image leading to another, going all the way back to the 30s movies of Busby Berkeley with Ruby Keeler going on stage and understudy and coming back off a star. It makes perfect sense that this variation on Showgirls, A Star Is Born, Glitter would be the creation of gay writer-director Steve Anton making his feature debut. And not unlike those backstage showbiz stories, Victor Victoria, the aforementioned cabaret in Chicago, Burlesque was made for our people. It doesn't even matter in the end that not one of the new songs is any good, which is a shame, because this could have kicked the movie into nirvana for me. that Cher's mask of a face doesn't even move when she's sobbing. She plays the owner of the debt-ridden club. That the film wastes Alan Cumming and kind of wastes Stanley Tucci. That Aguilera has very little acting range. Cameron loves her anyway. Or that the glittering, frantically staged numbers aren't particularly memorable. It doesn't even matter that there is nothing remotely fresh or inventive on screen, and that a better title for this movie that calls to mind so many other movies might have been Imitation of Burlesque. I suspect that gay men, young and old, will embrace this glittery mashup like there's no tomorrow. It has been a long time since a movie musical has had such an overt, unapologetic gay sensibility. It's much gayer than Hairspray, Mamma Mia, or Moulin Rouge. And the hell with the heterosexual movie audiences driven by the fanboy geeks and their ilk. The comforting familiarity of the movie's story, setting, and that cast clearly marks Burlesque as ours. After a long dry spell, that's something worth celebrating, even if it is for something that's half a loaf. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 22nd, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. About Face Theater presents the Jeff-recommended new play, Float, by Patricia Kane. From the creator of Pulp, this hilarious and heartwarming holiday play stars Adrian Curry, Rangan Altai, Wendy Roby, Peggy Roeder, and our very own Amy Matheny. Float is on stage now through December 12th at the Theater Wit. Visit aboutfacetheater.com for tickets.
Don't miss Oscar Wilde's best love comedy, The Importance of Being Earnest, full of Wilde's delicious digs at society, life, and the lies we tell for love. Featuring David Darlow as Lady Bracknell. Get your tickets now at remybumpo.org.
Join the American Blues Theater family as they take you back to a 1944 radio broadcast of It's a Wonderful Life, live at the Biograph. With live Foley sound effects, an original score, and a stellar cast of seven that brings the entire town of Bedford Falls to life. Visit AmericanBluesTheater.com for tickets and information. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
So, guys, do you start holiday shopping, like, as soon as,
I'm the worst at it. You know what the thing is? Being Jewish.
Yes.
Hanukkah is very much a kid's holiday.
And it's very early this year.
It is. It's December 1st it starts.
Mm-hmm. It's World AIDS Day as well.
Which is also, well, it's a very special holiday in our house.
Yeah.
Because it's World AIDS Day.
Mm-hmm.
It is also Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the birth of our Lord Bette Midler and, are the patron saint of all that is funky and soulful, Mr. Lou Rawls.
Okay, yes. There you go.
So,
it's a big, big day.
It's a holiday. You know, we celebrate.
What are we doing?
We don't know yet. We
taking the week off.
We both have the day off.
We have to freeze one of the turkey balls.
Exactly.
Right. Throw it in the fryer.
Put a candle in it.
That's what we do in our house. We find out if it's anybody's birthday that we love, and then mm-hmm. we celebrate them. So yeah. It will be Bette Midler Day and Lou Rawls Day, as well as World AIDS Day. But I was saying about Hanukkah. It's a kid's holiday.
And Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And
there's only one kid in my family. It's my nephew. So. I've already started because I already called my sister and I would say, listen, start nosing around and find out what, mm-hmm. because I'm the one who doesn't live near
right,
my nephew,
sure.
And so I need him to think that I'm special, Uncle Mitchell.
Yeah.
Not special like in special needs, but like special.
Not like short bus. Yeah, not like spectrum-y?
No, not spectrum-y.
Okay,
no.
Cool. Go ahead.
No, but so I always have her start real early, sort of like listening and paying attention to like what would be like a super special, like what he really wants. And then that's what I send him. So this year, he won't listen to this, so I won't be giving it away. I'm buying him tickets. He loves the WWE, the World Wrestling. Oh. Is it WWE?
WWF.
There's some other one, or I don't know, some rest. He loves, he's 10.
Yeah. Right.
And he loves the wrestling. So I'm buying seats for him and my sister.
Oh, fun.
To go see. So we're going to get them really good seats. So that's what I'm going to get him this year. That's and then I usually send him like a couple of books or something like that. So if anybody has any suggestions of like books that a 10-year-old boy would, because I'm
not the Patti LuPone biography.
No, not the Joan Crawford biography.
You don't want to be that special.
No,
that special
we don't know. We don't know yet because you know I'm gay. His mother's gay. My brother's gay.
Yeah.
And they all live together, and so
odds are pretty good.
Odds are pretty good, but
then he'll be straight.
We think he's straight. Right. So
three gays make a straight.
But if anybody has kids and they know like cool books that like 10-year-old boys would be totally into, please. You know, send a message to the Windy City Queercast, let us know, because I'm really at a loss. But I like to send him some books and stuff like that, too, on the side. But he's the only person I shop for.
Yeah. Now, what is a best, do you all have, like, a childhood best gift that you got, Megan? Is there, like, a gift that when you were young, you were like, that Christmas was...
Best gift? Yeah. I mean, it's always been, like, tickets to go see something with somebody. With my mom, with my dad, with my brother, whoever, wherever.
Because like, you grew up on the East Coast as well.
No, I'm a California girl.
Oh, you did? That's right. You are entirely a
Northern
California. So did you guys go see, like, the touring shows or concerts or...
It was mainly concerts. I remember seeing... Bet for the first time, and that was obviously life changing. I mean, I was like 14, and
you're like,
I got those tickets.
You
I wanted them so badly.
Right there in the 20th row.
Yeah, and I was like, well, she's this big superstar. They're gonna be so expensive. I'm never gonna get to go. And then, you know,
and
Christmas morning, they're sitting right there. I freaked out.
So awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Which tour was that?
What was that? I forget.
But you were young.
Yeah.
I never saw her when I was really young.
First time I saw her, I was in high school. My mother, you know, as anybody who listens to the Queercast knows, my mother's shitballs crazy. And one of her things when she was unemployed, I just did air quotes, by the way, it was that she would sit by the radio and call in for contests to win things. So my mother used to win shit. That's all she did.
Good for her, though.
I remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark like 2 weeks before it was released to the rest of the world. I mean, like crazy. And first time I saw Bette Midler, my mother won tickets to the Art or Bust tour.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s.
With the toga, like.
Yeah, back in the 80s. And my brother and I went. And now that we're sort of out or out to each other. And we go to see Bette Midler together. And, you know, there's 1,500 drag queens dressed. You know, some have like a record for a hat. Some have a typewriter for a hat. You know, all the eras. And it was life-changing. We love our Bette.
Yeah, I mean, well, I never got to see her live until Kiss My Brass, so I was much, much, much older.
Which I also saw, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, 10th row. Just, like, rushing the stage. Like, no one's rushing the stage. I am.
You are, exactly. You are, exactly.
What about you? Did you get, like, a gift, like, when you were a kid that was like, oh, my God, this is the best thing I've ever gotten?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this on the Queercast before, but I didn't get the gift that I wanted. You know, there was always that gift that you wanted that you didn't get. And my lovely girlfriend and fellow co-host Kelly Simpkins knew this story early in our romance. And my first Christmas with Kelly, she bought me this gift.
She better do it.
Which is the Mrs. Beasley doll from Family Affair.
Fuck, I want a Mrs. Beasley doll.
I have one.
Well.
I have one.
You know what's funny? Speaking of sort of dolls and gifts, you know, we've been talking about Cher lately.
Yep.
And when, when we were kids... I was obsessed with Cher.
Really?
And so really.
That's weird.
And I made my mother buy my sister the Cher doll.
There you go.
But really, it was for me to play with.
Yeah. Right.
And which my sister totally knew. And was psyched about it because she knew that she'd come home from school and I would have designed an outfit for Cher or something. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of the best gift that I didn't get, but really was for me.
Well, see, I wasn't like a Barbie person, but I had like the characters that were not Barbie. Like I had my Donnie and Marie doll that I really loved and I had my Donnie and Marie album. And I had the Sunshine Family, which were the hippie Barbies. You know, they had a camper. They went camping. Yeah, and he had real hair, unlike Ken, who had plastic head.
Why did they give Ken plastic hair and Barbie had real hair?
I don't know. But Mr. You know, Sunshine Cher, Family Man, he had real hair and so did the little baby.
You know, Cher's hair, you could make it short or long. It had a button in the back of Cher's back.
Yeah.
The doll?
Of the doll. It was like a little button that you pressed and the hair would either go long or short so you could give her different hair. Yeah.
Well, people my age, we had a dog called Chrissy and Chrissy did that. Chrissy was a redhead. See, I love the redhead.
I also had a G.I. Joe doll because that's what you get boys.
Yes.
And my G.I. Joe doll was... It was kind of hot. They didn't know that, you know.
I know, but I'm just saying it's kind of hot.
And so my G.I. Joe doll, actually, this is one of my favorites, but my G.I. Joe doll, it had a string and you pulled the string and it had like a little, it had voice, like six different
sayings.
And one of them was G.I. Joe, U.S. Army, reporting for duty. But we had a swimming
pool. That's your daddy complex starting at the age of eight.
Please, it was already deeply in place. But anyway, so by the summertime, because we had a pool in my backyard, we would take all the dolls in the house and we'd have like wars in the pool.
Right.
And so G.I. Joe got wet, so eventually it said...
G.I. Joe had a couple cocktails.
G.I. Joe was doing shots with Skeletor.
Oh, you know, speaking of G.I. Joe, and I don't know why my brain's going there, but it kind of feels along the same lines. I was reading an article in Entertainment Weekly this week, and it made me so sad. It was another... long article about the fact that Wonder Woman is never going to get made into a movie.
Why?
And because they don't know what the frick to do with it because, you know, it was this World War II and the pilot flies and lands on the island of the Amazons. They don't really feel like she has villains. I mean, they gave like all these reasons why even Joss Whedon couldn't make a script fly, you know, for Wonder Woman. And they were like, maybe we just need a new modern age, you know, because now they've changed her in the comic book, you know. She doesn't look the same.
Right. She's like all sort of gothed out, isn't she?
She's got the pants and she's kind of got like the members only jacket. And I'm like, this isn't the Wonder Woman I know
Wonder
and
Woman.
Love. I want the
Give me the belt. Give me the bracelets.
I want the like...
Give me the cape.
The granny panties.
The granny panties.
There was like granny panties.
Well, you know, she was dressed so all American, but she wasn't American. You know, she was from the island of, you know, the Amazons. And they were like, there's just no...
Paradise Island,
exactly.
Oh, shit, I'm gay.
You're Wendy Williams.
Well, that's
obsessed.
Something.
Yeah. Obsessed with Wendy Williams.
But, you know, I just, I don't know. I just thought of that because of the G.I. Joe, because I kept thinking, well, why does every superhero have to come out of this modern age for it to be relevant?
Well, why can't it?
You know?
I mean,
they said she has no real place. She has no real city, kind of like Batman has Gotham City and, you know, and she doesn't have the hook of like she's like us, like Spider-Man is, you know, a geek or a science kind of guy, you know.
Like she doesn't have the backstory?
Yeah, like she's already she's not human, you know, like Iron Man, like Robert Downey Jr.,
Amazon,
he's wealthy,
right.
But he's still a human being. So
right, there's always that like contradiction. But I just feel
like it can happen. Like I'm really enjoying this No Ordinary Family show right now.
I haven't seen it with Michael Chiklis.
It's totally charming. I mean,
it's one
with
the full families there, superheroes.
Yeah.
It's like The Incredibles, you know, or the, is it The Fantastic Four? I can't remember. But
the
like, you know, one can run really fast. The mother can run really fast and she's a scientist. The father works as a sketch artist, a cop, you know, for criminals to sketch them out. And
he's from Rhode Island, by the way, that actor.
Yeah, he's great.
He's
so
great.
Charming on...
Thank you, Rhode Island. That's what, when we were in Rhode Island together, right? This is a stupid story. Little side note. When Megan and I were in Rhode Island, I was saying that one of the things I love about going home to Rhode Island, which I've made Megan come with me twice now, is that there's such cute boys in Rhode Island because it's so Italian, so many Portuguese men, so cute, so... I needed to let her know when a cute guy was walking by without having to say, hey, there's a cute guy. So this is what I would do.
Thank you, Rhode Island.
It was that little
thing. Slow it down and stink it up, baby.
A little Rhode Island song.
Well, Chiklis, he's cute. He's really charismatic and hot.
He is, I like him.
But so he's really strong. He's like strong man, you know. And then their son is a mathematical genius. Like he can just figure out problems and conundrums in his mind. Like,
did you just say conundrums?
I did. Mathematical.
It's early for that.
You know what? Don't throw that kind of shit.
I haven't even had coffee. You two are just...
Oh, we're coffeed up.
Yeah.
And then the daughter can... hear people's thoughts. And it's really, it's interesting to have a teenage girl like hearing people's thoughts, mm-hmm. and a young boy who wasn't really good in school now kind of, how much does he use his talent?
Well, you know what's interesting about this cool. Wonder Woman thing is that mm-hmm. part of the issue, I think, with Wonder Woman, as you're talking about, is that she doesn't really have a vulnerability.
I think that's what
you know, like
saying.
Spider-Man is like this sort of geeky boy. Clark Kent has this sort of identity crisis, you know, Superman. Yeah. Because he's,
and the kryptonite.
But also his planet's been destroyed, so he feels like an orphan.
Yeah. Right,
and,
he's been wounded
He's been wounded somehow, you yeah. know. And but Wonder Woman sort of shows up and she's fully like confident and was sort of like, you know, a princess on her eye. Like she comes with a fully equipped self-esteem.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is different.
Well, I just think that we should just light some candles and hope that this happens one
Who would
day,
play it? Who do you want to see play? Like right now, if you had to cast it right now.
Well, I would use Angelina Jolie if I had to do it right now, because I think it would get made, and I think that it would, I think she'd be good in it.
It would get made. You're right.
Mm-hmm. It would get made, and she'd have the right kind of sex appeal, and I think she could do the comedy, and I think she also could do the physical stuff. I mean, she's the most, I think. I mean, at one time I thought Catherine Zeta-Jones would be good, but I think now, you know, I think...
She's a little long in the tooth.
Well, I think that Angelina Jolie is just...
I have to go. I have to go take a nap.
I think Angelina Jolie is just the person that people will accept in that role. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could put a newcomer in it, but I think there'd be so much writing on it because they've been trying to make one for so long that you really would need somebody.
Look what they did to Catwoman.
Right. Oh, God.
Is that the worst movie ever made?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I watched it when I was on the ship last. They played it on the Crew Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so fucking dumb. I mean, I couldn't believe how fucking dumb it was. Yeah. Like, first of all, isn't she supposed to be the villain? And some... I don't know when it morphed. Maybe I'm like, I'm not a comic book nerd, so I don't... I mean, and I love comic book nerds, you know. Yeah. But like...
Steven Rader.
Yeah, those. I mean, you know, we're all nerds in our own way. And
Green Lantern, Ryan. Ryan.
Oh, well.
What's his name?
Ryan Reynolds.
Reynolds, please, who's now people's most
sexy. Oh, Lord!
We saw him in this show in New York. Remember, you talked about the celebrity autobiography?
Yeah.
Well, we saw him do it in New York.
Yeah, you told me.
And he was so fucking sexy. Like, you could feel it in the room.
Yeah.
So,
he's funny and sexy.
Funny and
sexy. See, it's like you need those superhero, like Robert Downey Jr., like funny and sexy. You know, I mean, I think Spider-Man kind of, you know, Tobey Maguire's charming. But, you know, it's like you need that person who can be.
Yeah. Self-deprecating.
Kind of. Hey, I do need to remind everybody, if you are looking for holiday gifts, The Kids Are All Right DVD is out as of last week.
It.
And you can...
We just watched it.
It's. Have you never seen it?
No.
Oh, what did you think?
Holy shit.
It's such a good movie. It's, is it so good? And that Benning should just be already like at the Oscar.
Julianne Moore too. Both like, of the first scene, we were like, who do you give the Oscar to?
Who do you give the Oscar to? They both have a moment. If you guys haven't seen Kids Are Right, it's like, it's definitely one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, it's so cool mm-hmm. to see. It's so cool to see lesbian characters who are that full bodied and fully realized and complicated and to have two actresses like that. And, you know, I just read a story this week that said that they have been questioning, because Annette Bening was talking about how much she enjoyed playing Nick, whether or not they would make a sequel to it. And, you know, and it really is, you kind of want to know that family. I mean, I kind of want to know what's on the other side of this for that family. You know, I don't know.
It's
what
interesting
the
because I loved the kids
be.
Too. I mean, I think one of the things that makes that movie work, besides how
so
brilliant
good.
The two actresses are, it's the kids' reflection of their family that for me made that movie even more moving.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, there's so much discussion about what is a family and modern family, and mm-hmm. and so we watch that family through the eyes of these two kids and how adjusted or not adjusted they are.
Yep.
And I think about my nephew, I talked about a little bit before, and he doesn't have a dad.
Yep.
My sister decided to have a child on her own.
Yep.
And so eventually the questions of who's my dad and where's mm-hmm. my dad, and mm-hmm. and especially I'm speaking just for boys right now, boys eventually want to know who the fuck their dad is, mm-hmm. you know? And so I loved that whole thing with that kid, you know?
He was so great.
Oh my God, he was...
Both of them so good.
And then Mark
Both
Ruffalo
them,
was a
I mean,
dreamboat.
I mean, it's just a perfect, perfect cast.
It
and,
is.
And
check
just
it out, people.
Some writing that is just genius. So that is definitely out. And one other thing I want to give a tip about is this week, November 22nd, it airs. It's HBO, so it'll be on quite a bit. There is a new documentary about Fran Lebowitz, speaking of amazing and outspoken and fully formed lesbian characters. Fran Lebowitz has been such a voice.
And Mishpacha.
Yes.
She's Jewish.
Yes. And it's called Public Speaking, and it's premiering on HBO on November 22nd, but it'll obviously be on HBO for a while or on demand. So check that out. I cannot wait to actually. My TiVo is set to just get behind her more. I mean, she's just, you know, she's quoted as being such a, I mean, she's one of those people that you see on all those calendars. You know, she's quoted so much, and it's just such a sharp mind. And
it's funny. I once had an entire conversation with this cute guy that I was on a date with, and I was talking about Fran Lebowitz, but in his mind, I was talking about Fran Drescher. So we had an entire conversation.
Not too dissimilar, except one wears Brooks Brothers, and one wears
Christian Louboutin.
Yeah, or something like that. That might be a little high-end. Right. I don't know.
And we had this entire discussion, and finally, after a while, he kept saying, oh my God, she's so funny, that voice. And I was like, yeah, she's got a funny voice, but I don't think of her as, I mean, she's funny, but she's dry. And he's like, she's only funny. And I was like, what? I mean, she is. She's a humorist, but she's not wacky. Until I realized that he was talking about the nanny, and I was talking about Andy Warhol's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. From Interview Magazine to the nanny.
The nanny.
Exactly. Hey, I just real quickly, because we're going to have a whole other show with you guys to talk a little bit about this special little chemistry that you all have. Because
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen it before in my life.
I know. You two walk through life together these days in this period of your life. But I want to know, because I know we've talked on this show a lot about Glee. Mike O'Malley is a friend.
Yes, he is.
He's actually gotten finally his... some microphone to talk about the great work that he's been doing on Glee. But it really, in light of what is happening in the news stories, even if we heard in today's news, the story in Texas, that, you know, stories continue to come out. And whether or not these are new stories and this is a new pandemic of teen suicide and these hate crimes against teens, or if it's just now being reported and we're actually just seeing it for what it is, you know, like the shade has raised and it's not just like sad kids killing themselves.
I think it's all of the above, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I think that there is a shade being lifted, and so we're seeing it and it's being reported on, because for years I think it just wasn't reported.
Yep.
Or people weren't reporting the attacks out of shame and fear.
Right.
But I also think that it is increased.
It's escalating.
And it's because of a backlash. Because as we become more accepted, the backlash, the bigots and the homophobes and the people who don't want gay people to be mainstreamed are reacting even stronger.
So is it important that, we discussed this a couple weeks ago, like that, you know, I mean, there's so much responsibility, it feels like, and God love him, he is handling it with such grace, this Chris Colfer, who plays Kurt on the show. You know, we talked about whether or not with the GQ cover and all of this, whether Glee is a kid's show. It's not really a kid's show. It's a show set in high school about kids that's really more adult. You know, how you watch it with your kids. And but what it is saying right now for GLBT youth or GLBTQI youth and also parents of, I think, is so...
It's powerful.
It's so powerful right
I
now.
Agree.
And, you know, they've introduced this really dashing, young, confident gay friend for Kurt. Yet to
oh, my
see
God,
if this is
going
to be romantic. You know, he was supposed to play, potentially... the geeky football jock.
Like Finn?
He was up for the Finn character.
When this
they brought
kid
him back.
Was on Glee, I felt like there was a collective sigh in America of, oh, so cute.
Well, he's just so confident and so fully himself, and you kind of think that's the good thing that can happen from a same-sex high school experience. There are also the opposite that can happen. It's kind of like a pendulum. Yeah. I think it could be either a horrific experience if... You're in an all-boys school.
He had a very friendly interview recently where, you know, because he literally overnight became famous, this kid.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been a working actor, like a musical theater actor for years. In fact, there's this great clip, if you haven't checked it out, check him out as Harry Potter. There was this great unofficial
Harry Potter.
This unofficial Harry Potter musical that people really liked. And there's a clip of him online on YouTube. It's really funny. But, so overnight he became famous, this kid, you know. And,
singing Katy Perry.
Yeah, and well, I actually like it better than the Katy Perry.
Oh, me too. Well, I don't love Katy Perry.
Me neither. So, but anyway, so he did this interview.
Megan had no comment on it. She had a hand gesture.
Keep quiet over there.
You don't like Katy either, do you? No. So anyway, so he had to come out, as straight. It was this really funny article. He was like, you know what, I feel like I should take this opportunity to come out
Oh, right, right, right. We did that news story. Yeah,
as a straight guy, which I thought was just darling. He said all the right things.
Yeah.
You know, that he grew up in the theater in San Francisco. And so he was
gay men around
surrounded.
Him. Love musical theater.
And they were all like, really? You're straight? And he's like, yeah, I think I am.
Straight.
Please love and accept me. Right. So darling, you know.
That's what Megan had to do. She had to go, I'm not a gay man.
I have to do it every day.
It's
you're
hard.
Not?
So hard.
Then who fucked me last night?
You tell me about it. She don't know.
Who else was in the bed?
She's got a clitoris the size of a broom handle.
All right.
You did
hanging up on the street, girl.
Well, I have to say that I think it's going to be really fascinating because, of course, they have entered in the thing that, you know, the bully, who happens to be the bully, the, you know, the echoing the fact that the preacher who screams the loudest against gays from the pulpit, you know, the bully, the... you know, brute on the football team.
The most homophobic.
Is the closeted homosexual.
Course,
and at crisis, you know, and it's so hard. I have to say what they have almost done effectively is that they have introduced the brute, you know, who's bullying him so much with this. And spoiler, if you haven't watched your TiVo for 2 weeks coming up, just hit mute for just 2 seconds. When he kissed Kurt, you know, on the show, what it did was it introduced for me such a moment of compassion for him, too, and the struggle that he's going through in high school. And I'm sure that there are many, you know, whoops. Now, see, somebody is disagreeing. There
somebody's
is a disagreement
right now.
They are disagreeing with me.
No, I'm with you, Amy. I think what's extraordinary about
it. It gave such compassion, right?
Well, it also
so smart.
It exposed... for me, anyway, for the first time on television, on you know, network television, that idea.
Yes.
You know, we can talk about how, you know, somebody who's so homophobic is probably gay themselves or
right.
has all these issues. Because if you have a problem with something, with anything, it's you that has the problem.
You think you
right?
just protest too much.
Right, exactly. Well, listen to that sentence. I have a problem with.
Yeah.
Means you have the problem. And so I've never seen actually that on television before.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, we've seen it in real life. We've
seen
it with,
but
you
to
know,
see it to see it played
television.
Out like that, right? And to have that moment was so intense.
Yeah.
At that locker.
But
and
you,
I,
that kid
it
acted it so well,
beautiful.
And I thought, wow, this is going to be so because there have got to be, you know, listeners. I mean, I'm sure some of you, and you know, if you played a particular role in high school, you know, and you
and felt like you couldn't get out
and
of it.
Felt like you couldn't get out of it, and I think probably. I mean, I think I felt that, you know, not in the same way. I wasn't bullying any kids, but you felt like you were identified in such a role that it's like, well, how do I get to still be this, get to still be authentically who I am? Like,
yeah.
He probably likes playing football,
right.
And he probably enjoys those guys, and yet he probably has feelings for this Kurt boy and doesn't know what
also,
to do with that.
Also, you know
what
it is, an interesting phenomenon, too, which will be interesting if they let that character, the
mm-hmm.
the brute
I think this
player,
kid can act it.
I think
I really
so too,
saw it,
is
you know.
This, you know, when I, a long time ago, when I first started dating this one particular person in my life, when I met him, he had a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And he was very good looking, young, quote, straight man, and he was living a straight world, and he was attractive and came from an upper middle class family. I mean, he had all
right.
the privileges of being a white, straight male in America.
Yes.
And all that entails. And then... he broke up with his girlfriend. We started dating, and then overnight, he became a member of a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you do
a hated minority.
Yeah.
And to watch him go through that was really interesting. And you know, I had been out for a long time by the time I met this person, but it was very interesting to watch him then have to give up all the privilege that comes with
mm-hmm.
that kind of easy acceptance in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the issue too. It's like to
yeah.
let go of that.
Yeah. Well, it gives you. I mean, my own personal story is like, you know, it gives you a lens. You know, I've always seen it as being a real gift in my life because the other path of
yep,
me being, you know, a kind of fully supported, every opportunity I wanted, you know, I mean, I'm not male, but
right.
white, female, you know, put on a pedestal most of my life, and then to discover this about myself gave me such a different lens. It gave me a whole different path to
Megan,
go down.
What is your, like, what happened in your life that sort of, like, because you are, like, a white, straight girl in America. What
mm-hmm.
what gave you your lens into the other world? Was it theater? Was it singing? Was it...
You're an
well,
artist, too.
Well, I mean, yes, I
am. You do not look at the world in a mainstream way. You're one of us queers.
I hope not.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm an honorary.
Let me tell you something, kids.
There's nothing queerer than Megan. I'll tell you.
I'm the biggest fag on earth.
When I think about the term alternative lifestyle,
exactly.
It does not apply to Amy and I. It applies to this.
You're right.
But what do
you're
think
right.
that came from? Do you think?
Honestly, well, yeah, I'm white. I was middle class, but I didn't grow up with a lot of people that looked like me. If you remember?
That's right.
I grew
right.
up this in is... Northern California, which, you know, my high school was 80% Asian, so. I was the person being talked about walking down the halls mm-hmm. when people were talking about me in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I sort of grew up as a minority. And I know that sounds weird, but mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
So I know, I remember how it feels to feel like you don't belong somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just that's outside, powerful. You know, and I think a lot of us can understand what it feels to be outside, you know. And I think it's a good perspective to have in one's life. And you just hope these young people, while they feel outside, can find mentors and that some of this is providing some stability for them. Well, Nilla's telling us it's time to go.
Nilla's yelling.
Nilla's right, Nilla. Like, wrap it up. She's the stage manager.
She is. She's our producer.
So we're going to have Megan and Mitchell back with us the next show, all about the relationships of gay men and straight women, which you've gotten a little taste of here today. And we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. And try the turkey ball.
Yeah, turkey ball.
Turkey balls.
We challenge you to do it. Put
happy
it in some ball of water and make a turkey ball. And then comment in. We'd love it. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.